And maybe you could just explain what we're going to do.
Okay, well, what we're going to do is we're looking at comments on recent YouTube videos. We're looking, someone put up on General Comment 6 about this Jewish anti-white who's got a video, racism, the white race is facing extinction, question mark. I love those question marks. And so we're just looking at the general comments that are written, and happy to say that we are the guys being bombarded with pro-white commenters, and it's good to see. What do you reckon, Adelheim? Have you been reading the comments?
I haven't been reading all of them, but I watched the video, although I don't remember all of it. It's more or less the same standard thing that you can't really define white people, so
Except when we blame white people for the Holocaust and slavery, then we seem to know who the white folks are.
Then I have no problem at all identifying white people when it comes to guilt.
Yeah,
And
it's amazing. Even a white Norwegian kid who was born 50 years after the war ended, by just virtue of being white.
yeah, and then they suddenly turn around and, it's suddenly very hard to define white people, Well, you want to preserve white people, Lord Nelson, but I, just don't see what white people, what white is really,
And the answer to that is, so who do you believe committed the Holocaust then, Adelheid?
Oh, yeah, they were Nazis.
Yeah, that's what they say, isn't it? Oh, racists committed the Holocaust. So what color were these racists? Were they Chinese racists? Were they black African racists? Can you tell us who these, what color or ethnic group these racists were who murdered the 6 million Jews?
Yeah, if they're trained anti-whites, they will try to. They understand what you're after, but most people would say, oh, they're white people, of course, evil white people.
Yeah, that's true. It's most anti-whites who are just like programmed fools who have no real. They're not the kind that would actively go out their way to take part in a discussion board on the internet, a racial discussion board, or to attach comments to racially motivated videos on YouTube. The ones you're going to generally meet in day-to-day life probably would just walk right into that one. There's no such thing as race. There's no such thing as the white race. So who committed the Holocaust? Oh, the white people did. Gotcha.
Yeah, it's so amazing, this anti-white mindset or mentality. I was talking to a Swede yesterday, and we were debating somewhere on the internet, and he asked some anti-white if he think it was okay for an African to protest massive Chinese immigration into Africa. And of course, this anti-white person said, "Yeah, sure, he's an African patriot, he's," and so forth. And then he asked, "How is it for a white Swede to protest massive Arabic immigration into Sweden?" And then he, "Well, why are you bringing up Arabs and Sweden? We weren't talking about that." So.
But they're the kind that you generally meet who like just exactly like you said all the time, they're the kind you generally meet in your normal day-to-day life. They're not the type who usually go out of their way to post on racially motivated videos on YouTube, etc. They are quite easy. I wish there was more of them.
But I think the most trained one are the ones who are still in opposing view section on Stormfront. Because they're
Yes.
aiming for a position where they can say, sort of, well, I just happen, no, I'm not anti-white, I just happen to be for some kind of principles, and those principles just happen to lead towards a world without white people. But that isn't my intention. And.
Yeah, and I just happened to have seeked out the most prominent pro-white discussion board in the whole of the internet. Took the time to register
Yeah.
and post might just happen to
yeah.
on opposing views on Stormfront. Yeah.
Yeah, because I don't care what skin color people have. That's why I spend hour after hour after hour debating about skin color on some forum. That's what.
Yeah,
they say.
But I don't really care about skin. And then my favorite, and I know you're aware of Adelheim. My favorite, my personal favorite is when they actually take the time to seek out Stormfront of all the websites on the whole World Wide Web. There's probably billions, and they take the time to register, open an account to say something like, "Life's too short to worry about race. Why don't you just concentrate on enjoying your life and not? Why do you waste so much time in your life?" Worrying
yeah.
about such things,
and then they spend hours talking about something. I don't care about this. I just spend several days and weeks being here, being anti-white.
Yeah, I've racked up 3,000 posts on Stormfront in the last 4 months.
Yeah,
your life is so precious. Why waste your life worrying about this stuff?
Yes.
Oh man, I just, you know something, you actually know my real name, and my name is pretty unusual. People could find, I have a Facebook account under my real name, and anybody who actually went there would be surprised. I have non-white people on my Facebook. It's not a problem. It doesn't mean I want to marry them or introduce them to my daughter, but on a personal level, you know, I just don't mean to say I want millions and millions of non-whites coming into white countries. The point I'm trying to make is I don't have an issue with non-whites, but I'm starting to get a real issue with white anti-whites. They are such disgusting, you know, people who don't know me might assume they actually hate people based on their race or their skin color, and it's actually not true. But I am developing a deep pathological hatred of white anti-whites. There's just nothing honorable about these people. And the fact that they are actively promoting the constructive genocide of their own race because it happens to be the politically correct, fashionable thing to do it in their particular time. In fact, I can't think of anything nice to say about them.
No.
I can think of good things to say about black people. I mean, I'm a big fan of Muhammad Ali. Cassius Clay, the Louisville Lip, have been since childhood. I was a young boy in the 70s when he was the most famous sportsman on the planet. And one of my earliest childhood memories was the first time my father let me stay up late was one of Muhammad Ali's big world championship boxing matches. I think it was the one Rumble in the Jungle. Anyhow, it's one of my earliest childhood memories. And I have to say, he never quite let me down as a hero. You know, he is, in my book, a good guy. But I can't think of anything nice to say about white anti-whites.
No, I agree. Never... You know, black people or Muslims, you know, they were standing up for their people and protecting their group. And that's, you know, that's something you can understand. But these white anti-whites, they feel so superior. That's how they feel, so virtuous. They think that, you know, we're so superior, we're giving away our country and so forth. But that's just treason, you know. Treason is not a virtue. It's just treason.
Yeah, it is. And I wish they were at least honorable traitors. But they aren't even that. I mean, you know, I wish... I mean, how is... I mean, we talked about how a non-trained anti-white will walk right into a trap. And the example that we give, you know, a non-trained anti-white might say there's no such thing as the white race. And then you ask them who commits the Holocaust, and they'll say the white race did. Duh. But, okay. And then they're going to stumble and get very confused because they've actually been brainwashed But when you get a trained white anti-white who knows the trap you're putting in front of them and therefore will avoid walking into that trap, how can they at the same time not then appreciate what their real agenda really is? If they're aware enough and conscious enough to understand that trap in advance, then surely they must know inside themselves that really they're just lying and twisting and talking complete nonsense in order to support the genocide of their own people. You know, I mean, non-trained white anti-whites, you could just say, are useful idiots. The kind of white anti-whites who will say there's no such thing as the white race, and you say, who committed slavery? Oh, white people did. They enslaved all the black people. You know, you could say that kind of anti-white is just a useful idiot. But the kind that will regularly post on Stormfront, or the kind who are making these videos, and I mean the ones that are not Jewish, it was For My Nation on General Comment 6 who made the post, Jews Attacking the Mantra, and then provided a link to this Jewish anti-white. You know, I dislike the guy intensely, but you notice that he took time in his video to defend the position of apartheid Israel. Okay, now, I at least can respect the fact that he is an anti-white Jew who is pro-Jewish and pro the rights of the Jewish state of Israel, while at the same time supporting the constructive genocide of white Europeans in America and Europe. You know, obviously I don't like what the guy's about, but at least the guy is Jewish.
Yeah.
But there's so many non-Jewish ones who are also, they must know what they're really about. And they're a very, very strange phenomenon. White anti-whites.
Yes, I really think it boils down to what Bob is talking about, with the assumed white superiority. You know, because we're white people, we have colonized Africa, we have colonized India, we have built U-boats, we have built airplanes, we have built rockets that can go into space, we have sent people to moon. We have sent, you know, satellites and so forth. Up in the universe, we're looking for distant planets in other solar systems. And what have the other races done?
Mm.
Yes, and they feel this. And therefore,
I do like, yes, the food.
Yeah. It's like, you know, yes, and the Pakistanis, they really have good, tasty food. And
yeah, but
the Africans are so good dancers, and
white people are so weak. A little bit of Motown music now and then. It's not my favorite, but a little, yeah, every now and then, a little bit of Motown's okay.
Yeah, and you know, when white people have done all this, how are we going to show our superiority? Well, it's with giving things away. You give away your country because, you know, you're above nature. Non-whites aren't, animals aren't, but white people are. At least, that's why I think, you know, giving away your country, giving away the existence of your people because you're not really of this world. I think they really feel superior in some twisted way.
Yeah, I do agree. That's got to have a lot to do with it. And at some subconscious level, it is a kind of supremacy thing. I got an anti-white challenge me on one of my own videos. I'm guessing it is a white anti-white, because just reading between the lines is sometimes pretty obvious, but I can't be 100% certain. But I'm going to read you the exchange. I thought it was quite funny. So this anti-white, the name is Chelly Sue or something, Chel Sue, it's a strange spelling. She kicks off the debate by posting a comment on one of my videos. Says, this is quite possibly the most stupid thing I've ever heard. And the video was a music video with the mantra in writing going across the bottom. So I replied, are you saying it's even more stupid than a white anti-white? Question mark. And then she's replied, does your mommy know you're playing with the computer again? To me. And I've replied, does your mommy know that you're really just a brainwashed anti-white? Question mark. Then I've wrote underneath that, I've written, come on, Chelly Sue. A lot of people are saying that you anti-whites are really just brainwashed cowards. Please prove them wrong. All you have to do is explain why you believe white people must be ethnically displaced in their own countries. Let's have it. Then she replies, Then she replies, no explaining anything. You sound either like an angry middle school girl or a severely bipolar ingrate who still blames everyone else for their misery. Your problems are your fault, not the blacks or the Asians, Muslims, Mexicans, or even other whites. Stop blaming other people and start working on yourself. So I replied, you sound like you're afraid. Stop hiding behind abuse and insults and let's hear what you have. And that was the last of the anti-white. She appears to have done one. She may come back. Who knows? She may come back. That'd be interesting. I don't know how much mantra thinking was involved in there, but one thing I would point out, if I don't know if I came across on what I wrote, but I can assure you it certainly is what was happening behind the scenes. I had absolutely nothing but contempt for that person. And I don't mean to the point of anything physical or violent, anything bad. I just mean that I had no respect for that anti-white whatsoever. And we've really got to just start treating these sick so-and-sos with the contempt they actually deserve.
We need to do that and try to always improve the way we nail them down. I was advising a Swede yesterday on how to debate the anti-white, ended up, we first talked about, do you think that all races have a right to exist or something? And then, including the white race, and it was quiet. And it just wrote, potato.
Potato?
Yeah, it was so angry because, we had, he couldn't say anything. Yeah. Then he had to say that the white race had a right to exist, and he certainly wouldn't do that.
Yeah, the one that you come up with is actually, I still think, the ideal one that you mentioned when if you get a chance, you don't always get this opportunity, but if you get a chance, like you were saying, to say that, everything anti-whites say always seems to amount to the same thing, the genocide of white people, can you prove me wrong? And if you're writing that, in a forum or on a YouTube comment, always put a question mark at the end. It just makes it a bit more powerful.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at this YouTube video, Racism, the White Race is Facing Extinction. This is the one that For My Nation put the link to.
Is for
General Comment 6. Basically, and I'm really happy to see this, you've no idea, the actual channel is getting flooded with comments from pro-whites. And for the time being, the anti-whites, including the Jewish anti-white who created the video, Johnny Versity, are nowhere to be seen. The problem is that, it's actually not a problem, but it's just to say that we can't altogether be policing every single video on YouTube 24/7. So it's fair to say that these anti-whites, when they feel it's safe to come back, will reappear in the next few days or next week. Just 1 second, Adeline. Just 1 second. I need to stop this. 1 second.
Okay. Yes, well, our point is to... Okay.
Nettelheim. You recording?
Yeah.
Hi, sorry about that. What we were talking about, this video, racism, the white race is facing extinction, ? We're saying that that these people, they are nowhere to be seen in this particular video right now, because there's a good half a dozen or more pro-whites that are just posting comments. They will sneak back over the next few days when they think the coast is clear, but it's very, very noticeable. For the time being, with all us posting on this video, the anti-whites are just staying away, and I hope people notice that. I'm not going to pretend that we have the silver bullet. You know, if you find yourself outgunned and outnumbered, you're going to be in for a hard time. But all else being equal, or even when the odds are loaded a little bit against us, these people have nothing they can put at us. When I give you the example before of the anti-white who challenged me on my own video, I'm not saying that I did a sterling job, but basically, I read out the exchange. That was all I had. She, you know, they really don't have anything.
Of course, go on. Because yeah, well, they want white genocide, so it would have been a hell of an argument. If they were going to convince me. Just excuses, and that's what they're putting forward. They have a goal which they understand is undesirable if stated straight away, if stated in plain terms. Yeah. So they will always use different they will try to hide their goal. They will say, oh, I'm just doing this because of the Bible or the Ayn Rand or some kind of communism, or because they know that if they state their goal, people won't support it. They know this unconsciously.
I was going to say, you're so right. I mean, I just give an example of my country that I know, Britain. If a politician 40 or 50 years ago had stood up and said, we're going to keep on letting non-whites into Britain to the extent that within 50 or 100 years, white Europeans will become a minority in Britain, that guy would have been hung from the lampposts, that particular politician. But he didn't do that. And it's just one step at a time. It's that old analogy. I don't know if the analogy is actually true, but it's about put the frog in the pan of boiling water and it jumps straight out. Put the frog in the cold water, put a flame under the water, and the frog lets itself be boiled to death. It may not work with frogs, but it seems to work with white people.
But now we have the mantra, and now we have we're developing the mental capacity to actually state what we want. For all these years, we have had people trying everything but saying that, okay, we want white survival. And what you're doing is white genocide, and you're not really anti-racist, you're anti-white. We can state this thing now, we can make our point, and we can win. So,
we spent the first 3 or 4 decades talking about our beautiful white race, black crime stats, and scheming Jews. It's about time to start shooting back. And if I had to sum up the mantra and look and all that, I know there's a lot more to it than this. But to sum it up, it's basically it's about firing back, you know, not justifying and actually shooting back for a change, and calling these people. I mean, I've wrote a quick comment on the video that was linked to from General Comment 6, the white race is facing extinction by the Jewish anti-white. I just wrote, funny thing is, anti-whites only use these arguments against all and only white people. Also notice the way this Jewish anti-white managed to defend the apartheid state of Israel while still pushing the program of genocide against whites. I am amazed that people still take these sick fools seriously. Now I've wrote it, I could think of a dozen ways of making it even better, but what the heck. the thing is, a couple of little tricks. I talked a little bit about things that I learned in sales. And it is kind of relevant because programming, brainwashing and propaganda and sales are almost identical. There's one important area where they separate. In sales, in actually to insult somebody or to attack somebody is an absolute no-no. You may win the argument but lose the sale. And so you're aware of the actual labeling, you know, in a way of to avoid it. But in brainwashing and propaganda, creating a label to attack somebody with is actually an essential part of the technique. So they invented a word like racist to push mass immigration, etc. They invent a word like homophobe to push homosexuality, which is another branch of the same anti-white racist agenda. It's nothing to do with gays. We spoke about it before. And there's a little thing as well, a couple of little tricks. You can actually, if you get a chance, when you go to label somebody, in sales it's actually used a different way, not in a negative way. In programming and brainwashing, you use it in a very negative way for a reason. But it's always good to label somebody in the form of the third party. And I'll explain what I mean by that. In sales, they call it a third party story. Whereas, let's just use the BMW car salesman. a BMW car salesman will not say to you, generally speaking, I personally believe that BMWs, in my honest personal opinion, are the best cars in the world. Because it's very easy for the customer at that point to come back and say, well, you would believe that, you are the salesperson. What they'll generally say is something along the lines of, well, lots of people are saying that BMW is the best car in the world. More and more people are telling us, more and more of our customers are telling us that they believe that BMW is the best car in the world. And there's two things there. There's a basic propaganda of creating this image that everybody, not just you, but everybody believes this is the best thing ever. That's a propaganda message. But the other part of that is it's a lot harder for the customer to come back at the salesperson, because a salesperson is not saying that he believes it. He's saying this is what other people believe. And so to tie that up and how we use it, and I see interviewers on TV use it all the time. If they've really got it in for somebody and they're really grilling them on the TV news or whatever, they use the same technique. When you call somebody an anti-white, it's good if you can do it. It actually fits in with a sentence of what you're saying or what you're writing, as putting in that, well, can you now understand that more and more people are saying that people like you are just anti-white? I'm not going to pretend that that's bulletproof, but it's a lot stronger. If I said, Adelheim, I personally believe you're just an anti-white, you can come back at me and you can say, well, Lord Nelson, why are you saying that about me? But if I said, Adelheim, everybody's saying you're just anti-white, and it makes it harder. And we should basically sharpen up our tools and use every little trick in the book. And another little trick is it's called a label razor. If you actually drop in the label or the insult, in our case, anti-white, if you drop in the actual attack word, anti-white, but then go on to ask the question, it's like a sort of double jeopardy thing. If I said to you, well, Adelheim, as an anti-white, how do you feel about mass third world immigration? Now, there's two things there. I've labeled you as an anti-white, then I've asked you a question, and they're not actually related. And so you have two choices now. You can ignore the question and defend yourself regarding being anti-white, but you then avoid my question. Or you can answer my question, and then you've subconsciously let slip the label I labeled you with, and it helps make the label stick. There's probably a name for that in general programming and propaganda. I don't know what the name for it is. But this is a little trick that you can use. You can just say to somebody, you know, if you're debating, well, as an anti-white, why do you believe the whole of Africa should have a right to immigrate to Europe? As an anti-white, why do you believe that? You go on.
Okay, yeah, well, I was just thinking how this relates to the mantra in some way. When I use it, if I first copy and paste the mantra, and, you know, this is what I'm against, and it seems to me that, and when I respond to someone, I can say something like, it seems to me you're anti-white, because then I first have made it clear what's happening, you know, immigration, integration, assimilation for all white countries, and so forth. And it seems like, to me, you're anti-white, because you argue for something that leads towards a world without white people, just like I described. And
yeah, you're actually, we need to start separating these. That technique is one that you proposed. It's one I'm going to try and use myself. But when you get locked in, we're going to start getting a little bit dirty, okay? So, as an anti-white, why do you believe the white race doesn't exist? Answer that question, Adelheim. I'm asking you the question now, Adelheim. As an anti-white, why do you believe the white race has no right to exist?
Yeah. Well. What do you think they say? Yeah.
Well, I'm not saying it's bulletproof. Go on.
Well, I'm not anti-white.
So you've avoided the question.
Yes, and then go on and answer the question.
Okay, so try it.
Yeah, well, I don't remember the question. I remember the first time you used to ask me this, and it worked on me.
The thing about it is, that is actually a very dirty trick. To label someone and then ask them a question as well, especially if it's a loaded question.
It's not so dirty, really. They are anti-white, so they seek our destruction. So yeah, I wouldn't say it's a dirty trick.
Well, of course not, and let us use it. I mean, it's only what you get every day from anti-whites, and it's not that clever. It's that they subconsciously pick up on the programming that's been used against them, and they use the same techniques.
Yeah, they remember how it was done to them, it seems like. they're using it back. Yeah,
it's probably just to explain.
Yeah, you know, basically, doing what works. It's like Bob talked about guerrilla warfare in debating and not being so respectable. Because they are not respectable against us. And they don't treat us well, so we should just do whatever we can to make the point that they're anti-white. Then. Exactly. Make the mantra. Yeah.
Exactly. But I'm not talking about anything that interferes with the message.
Yeah, no, I'm just trying to say what I think about in relation.
Yeah. The thing about that is, if you label somebody and then ask the question, you know. So if I just said, well, I think you are an anti-white, you can come back at that. If I said, so why do you believe white people have no right to exist? It's a nice question. It's very loaded, but you can come back at that. If I say, well, as an anti-white, Adelheim, why do you, as an anti-white, believe white people have no right to exist? Now, I've done two things. I've labeled you, and I've also took control and asked you a question. And I'm not saying you can't handle both. I'm not saying that it is foolproof. I'm saying that's a very dirty little trick that is used against us. And we just need to start doing it back to our enemies.
I might try to do that sometime when I think about it, yeah.
Yeah, and... I'm not saying that every time you write a comment on YouTube or whatever that you must every single time use that. I'm just putting it out there. I'm just
yeah. You have to know all of these techniques and you have to practice it, and then you get a feeling what you're going to write.
Yeah. I watched the video. Sorry. Yeah, carry on.
Yeah, go on.
I watched the video. I watched Rams Paul's latest video on Charlie Sheen. And then as a result of watching that video, it spiked my interest, and I found the Charlie Sheen interview that Ramsey Paul was actually referring to. And you notice the actual female journalist, she obviously had it in for Charlie Sheen. And you could see the techniques that she was using, and I recognised them. One thing she kept doing is something to the effect of, well, can you not see how people may think that that's anti-Semitic? Or can you not see how people may think? And what she's doing is that's actually a third-party story. She's labelling Charlie Sheen, but in the third party. She's not saying, I believe you are anti-Semitic. Because then Charlie Sheen could say, well, why do you believe I'm anti-Semitic? Why are you saying this about me? So what she said is, can you not see why people may think that you have a drug problem? For example, yeah.
What are you going to respond to this? Because when they say these things, can you not understand why people think you're anti-Semitic? It's sort of. Would you respond?
Well, there's obviously you just respond the best way you can. But all I'm trying to point out is this isn't Lord Nelson's personal opinion. These are techniques that I'm very, very aware of, and it's. I'm not suggesting anything that interferes with the mantra or anything else. I just want people to be aware of them. And the comments of mine that I've read out, it didn't incorporate any of those techniques. And also, I'm not suggesting for a minute that every time you write something, you must do this. Just be aware of it. And I can't remember exactly what the woman said in the Charlie Sheen interview, but she was using a third-party story. She was labelling Charlie Sheen in the third person. She's not saying, well, I might think that's anti-Semitic, or I might think you have a drug problem. She said, can you not see how other people might think that's anti-Semitic? Can you not see how other people are saying that you have drug issues, or worse to that effect? And this is a technique that I recommend. TV corporate media journalist has been given the job to do a hatchet job on someone like Charlie Sheen, that she uses those techniques. And I think we've got to start using those techniques ourselves. It doesn't mean not using the mantra. It just means when you're responding to a YouTube video like the one that For My Nation suggested, and we get locked into these things, that we can just slip these little tricks in, you know.
For example, if you will not say that the white race have a right to exist, can you see why a lot of people would view that as anti-white? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's a good one. But once you understand the actual technique being used, you can take the technique and you can adapt it to whatever the situation is. An example.
If you're proving a point, I think it will be very good to use it.
Well, yeah. Let me give you an example. Let me ask you the question. I'm not saying you can't come back at this. I'm not saying it's bulletproof. I'm just saying it just sharpens our tools a little bit. It gives us a bit more cutting power against the anti ones. I'm going to ask you the question, Adelheim. So, Adelheim, as an anti-white, why do you say there's no such thing as race?
Yeah.
I'm just asking you the question. As an anti-white, why you also are saying there's no such thing as the white race?
Yeah, I see your point there.
It's basically what it is it's just... double things up. I've labelled you, but then I've also hit you with a question. So what do? Do you actually handle a label? Do you protest your innocence that you're not anti-white, in which case I'm going to keep on pushing you to answer the question? You know, why have you avoided the question? Here it is again. Or you could answer the question and just let the label pass. which really helps it to stick. Again, I'm just saying these things, it's just little tricks and techniques, and, you know, let's roll our sleeves up and get really, really dirty with these so-and-sos.
Yeah. We have to reach more people. So this is a way to do it.
Yeah, I think that the people, there's so many people that are privately pro-white and they're frightened to speak up. So we've really got to try and challenge them on it.
Yeah, we have to give quite, you know, people like us or ordinary people who don't really read bugs something to say when they're called a racist or something like that. Because if you, once you understand the mantra and you debate something, you, once you understand how it, that they really are anti-white, and you just have to you learn how to argue this, a lot of people could do it very easily.
Yeah, I agree. While we've been talking, on the YouTube video that we've been talking about tonight, a couple more comments have come up, and I'm happy to see they are pro-white comments. This guy is called Clutchfan 1971. God, this video is so annoying. I wonder if the Jew that made this video is in favor of flooding Israel with millions of non-Jews. You could have put a question mark there, but perfect. Love it. Another one. This is pro-white or anti-white? Racism is not the bogeyman that commie Jew trash like. I think we can say he's pro-white. Racism is not the bogeyman that commie Jew trash like this claim it is. Racism is a border or boundary that protects racial and cultural diversity on this earth. Yet again, another Jew tries to convince us to commit racial suicide so that there are no longer white Europeans in this world. Big surprise, woohoo. That isn't the worst thing either. The worst thing is that he looks like that little obnoxious Jew runt son of Dr. Evil from Austin Powers, Seth Green. Okay, that's kind of a Stormfront type argument. It's not very much of a message, but hey... You know, when this guy made this video, I know he made it about a week ago or something, we just sort of caught onto it, but believe me, anti-whites don't like dealing with this stuff. They don't like, they would love it if everybody that was commenting, if every pro-white that was commenting on this video was talking about black crimes that scheming Jews and our beautiful white race, for every pro-white, there'd be like 10 or 15 anti-whites chipping in and sort of in a lot of self-righteous zeal. It's the actual mantra is about labeling, I guess, and about shooting back and pointing out to the crime that is really being committed. And
It's talking about reality.
Yeah.
And the wonderful thing, another thing, is that before people were saying, you know, I'm not racist, but so-and-so. Now the situation is that they are saying, well, I'm not anti-white, but I do believe in immigration or something. They are defending themselves. So
Yeah, I agree. I think Bob mentioned something about it on one of his new posts. It's kind of what happens when you start accusing them. So yeah, exactly what you just said.
The latest one with anti-white, never say anti. You have to say anti-white. Yeah.
Yeah. Like you just pointed out, it's so much better to be, instead of trying to defend ourselves that we're not racist, they're defending themselves that they're not anti-white.
Yeah.
I really wish that 40 years ago or 50 years ago, our side, it just started calling out the anti-whites and labeling them, instead of trying to justify our position. I wish, you know, that we did this, but basically we are doing it now. And okay, listen, that's it for me. I'm a bit out of time here, so
yeah, okay. Yeah, well, I was just thinking about one comment. I was Yeah, I was reading something I'd written for 5 years ago or something. And this anti-white said that no, you shouldn't do anything to preserve the white race because the white race isn't threatened and will not die out. So they always twist around. So they either say, well, there's nothing you can do about it, so don't take action. Or, no, the white race is not threatened, so don't take action. Or, we are already mixed, so there's nothing you can do. It's so funny to see how they always are twisting around, not doing something. It's just how the mentality works. It's so fascinating to watch. You know he's going to say something that will lead to destruction of white people, or not doing anything about it, or labeling white people as evil. It's starting not to be so much more new comments, but it's still fascinating to watch how this really works.
Yeah,
That
and that's
all of these people claim they're anti-racist, and then they're anti-white. Everyone has their own view of the world that just happens to have no place for white people in it.
Yeah, I
So.
agree. I've even noticed recently, as a response to our efforts, the contradiction that we keep pointing out how they pretend there's no such thing as the white race when we talk about normal white people. And then they turn around and blame the white race for racism, slavery, and the Holocaust. And so the way they're doing it now is they're saying, well, it wasn't white people who committed the Holocaust, it was racists like you. And so I've just seen it. I'm thinking, well, what you've got to do there is, I'm just putting it out there, so get back to me if you've got better ideas. I want to hear them.
Yeah, you just say, well, this is what's happening in the real world,
Yeah, or
where
even,
white people are blamed, so.
oh, yeah, or even, I mean, I even not let them off the hook so early. Just it wasn't white people that committed the Holocaust that were racist like you. Okay, so what color were these racists? Were they black? Can you tell us who these racists were? Well, it was racist people who committed the Holocaust. I understand that part. So can you now tell us who were these racists? Were they Chinese? What were the ones of the Hare Krishnas? Who were the racists? And keep pushing them and pushing them, and hopefully they're going to end up breaking down and going, well, it was white people.
Yeah, and they seem very, they say they don't care about skin color, and but they just won't have white people. They just won't have this white skin color around.
Yeah.
And as I pointed out before, if we were to say, well, I think we should have a program that all colored people adapt white children, so in the future we will all be white. And then perfect anti-racist society. We have, everyone has the same skin color. We have no more racism because everyone is white.
Yeah.
You see what I say? Yeah, they
Yeah.
wouldn't
Yeah.
support that, of course. Then they would say, "Oh, racist Nazis."
I
So they
know.
don't want a world with only white people. They don't want a world with white
Yeah.
people, which is today. They want a world without white people.
Yeah, just what got me thinking, another little technique is to actually keep probing and don't let an anti-white. I'm not talking about you, Yadel. I'm just putting stuff out there. It's not. This is just a. An example is, if an anti-white tries to argue that, when they say there's no such thing as the white race, and then they say, well, they try to talk about the Holocaust, and so as not to contradict themselves, they will then say that racists committed the Holocaust. They can't say it's white people because it'll contradict their other argument. Don't let them away with that. Probe, dig. Don't let them off the hook. If they say something like that to you, so who were these racists who committed the Holocaust? And it, they'll probably and it, don't let them deflect. Just when you catch something like that, keep digging. Well, these racists who committed the Holocaust—they were Germans. Okay, they were Germans. So who were these Germans then? Can you tell us? Were they Chinese Germans? Were they Pakistani Germans. What colour were they? Were they black Germans? Were they Jewish Germans? Who are these Germans that you are saying committed the Holocaust? At some point, they're going to say white Germans, and then you can contradict them on the rest of it. If you understand me, it's about. It really is that I do believe the answers will come when we genuinely lose all respect for these people and treat them with contempt.
But if you're not that interested in what they say, you just keep on making your point, sort of like, well, in the real world, white people are blamed for everything. That's why we have the term white guilt.
Yeah.
And you just say that and say, well, I believe you're anti-white because you support things that leads towards a world of white people. So it just seems that way. You support immigration, you support integration, and you won't acknowledge that white people have a right to exist, and you twist around. You can make some points like that.
Yeah, you can.
And then just pointing, well, you support immigration. If he says, yeah, it's because freedom. But you can say, well, in the real world, so-and-so. I've started using that. I'm starting to more refer to the mantra again. Well, in the real world, this is so real. And not being too obsessed with what he's saying.
And get
but
the
at
message
the same
out.
Time, yeah, I'm making points, but at the same time, I have to say something to make it a conversation.
Yeah.
You see, yeah.
I do. It's just something that if you do find yourself engaged sort of one-on-one and to use probing techniques, when you feel that your opponent's trying to hide something, don't let them off the hook. But then again, you are correct. There's just getting the message out.
After all, then you're making points at least.
Yeah, the things I'm talking about are not about getting out the message. They're just little techniques that are used over time by our enemies for dealing with debate or for trying to nail people. But at the same time, they shouldn't interfere with getting out the message and staying on message.
And making points.
Correct, yeah. It's just, it's like if you was to appear at this YouTube video now and started to make, so let's just say you appeared there and you posted the mantra, and you started getting attacked from 10 different corners by 10 different anti-whites. It's just little tricks that can put your enemy on the back foot, but it doesn't, at the end of the day, you still got to stay on message. I just talk about various techniques that are quite useful. And they're not things I've thought of myself, they're things that I know of and that I see being used all the time by our enemies. So let us get dirty and let's really stick it to these so-and-so's. I do hate white anti-whites. We're talking about, I said that some black people are like, I'm trying to think of some Jewish people I like, but I'm having difficulty, but there are some good Jewish comedians. I do like Indian food. But I can't think of anything I like about white anti-whites. I can't think of a single positive aspect about these people. I don't know.
No. It's hard to say. I was just thinking about what you said with non-white friends.
Uh-huh.
And it's... You know, the standard argument that, well, there are a lot of nice immigrants.
Some of my best friends are non-white.
Yeah.
I can't say
it's
that.
Like,
they're not.
Yeah, but it's like, you know, because there are some nice Asians and Africans, then it's okay to do away with white people.
Oh, yeah.
Or if we were flooding Africa with... Chinese people, so
yeah, I know Africans a Chinese. He's a very nice guy. Therefore, we can.
Yeah, yeah. Well, why don't you want to your race to go extinct as a black man. Why are you opposed to your race getting extinct? Because there are several nice Chinese there who make good foods.
Yeah, so why would you have a problem with all the blacks in Africa being replaced with Chinese people? Why would that bother you?
Yeah, I mean, they're really nice people, and they're just so nice. So I don't see the problem. And that's basically what they do. They always bring it down to micro perspective. Just the little things, while we are talking macro.
Yeah. But I think we have to keep not letting them get away with it. I think we talked about it before. I know that you actually feel the same way. There's no point in, if they talk about some single black family living in London or Oslo, don't get tied down with saying, well, I believe they should be sent back to Africa. You just got to point out, it's not about that family.
First you point out that you don't have anything against helping that black family. What you have something against is, and then you repeat the mantra or parts of it, whatever you have time to do. And then you're saying, accusing the other person of seeming to be anti-white, because he probably wants to integrate and assimilate black people. It's hard to explain, but when we were doing this debating, I used this technique and it seemed to work. So it gets your point across, and it also, it's a way of trying to bring it back to the macro perspective, and at the same time blaming them for being anti-white and not really caring about Africans. So it's a way of saying things that we might discover, which covers a lot of points in few words. So,
yeah, I understand. I also think that it's never a good idea to let emotion get in the way when you're debating. And you have a more Scandinavian, cooler temperament than I do. I just want to nail these people. I want to put my hand through the computer, grab them. I don't know.
But, yeah, well, I think you should do more debating and try new techniques and really find something that really works well, and then we'll tell people.
Yeah, actually, Adelheim, if we do have any listeners, if we do have any, hello. And to tell you the story, the other week I drove to Manchester and back, and it was altogether a 10-hour drive. And then called in at a bar, dumped the car basically, and called in at a local bar with a friend of mine, and had a lot to drink, and got back home at 4 o'clock in the morning, and turned on my computer, and I get a Skype call or Skype message, and it was from two of our Scandinavian colleagues, and one of them wanted to debate with me. And I says, look, I've been driving for 10 hours. I've had about 10 pints of lager. It's 4 o'clock in the morning. Oh, no, come on, please. This guy is, to be fair, a very, very good debater. He's probably one of the best. He is a pro-white, but he's pretty good. And when he plays a role of an anti-white, he's heard all the anti-white arguments and he can use them. And the result was very interesting. It would make great entertainment, but I wouldn't say it's fit for, there was some four-letter words. It was pretty good. I wouldn't say it was very well on message. I just like, what could you say? I mean, I am a pro-white, and you phone them after 10 hours and 10 pints of lager and start hitting me with this stuff. But I think I did okay. I think unfortunately, there was too much language used to ever think about putting it up on actual radio, on bugs. There you go.
Yeah.
It was quite funny, though, yeah? It was quite funny.
Yeah, I listened to it.
I listened to it again when I was sober, and it sounded so aggressive.
Yeah. But you know, it's also when you talk to people, how you say it, in what words, and are you aggressive? Are you not aggressive?
Yeah, inflection.
It's very important too.
Yeah, it's called it's inflection. That's what word is a word for it. The inflection I was giving off was a bit not good.
Yes, but it's also a little bit the same thing when you're, what type of mode you are in when you write comments. If you're in a very aggressive mode or frustrated mode, well, at least I don't write as good comments. If I'm just more relaxed and, you know, I'm thinking more like, okay, now I'm going to show that this anti-white person is anti-white and make my point. And just, I'm reading the comments and then I'm just thinking about it a little bit and then I start to get the feeling what to write.
Yeah.
And then I usually am able to point it out.
Yeah, it's another thing as well, I think I spoke about it, but some of the answers to a lot of these arguments that we're getting are so base, they're so simple. They're not simple to me, I'm the same, I have to think about it. But what I'm trying to say is I do believe a lot of the answers to these arguments, when we actually totally lose all respect for anti-whites and have just nothing but contempt and laugh at them, then a lot of the answers do, I believe, will actually appear. A lot of the way that anti-whites talk to us is because they are brainwashed, is because they really do have such a deep-rooted sense of superiority, and they really do genuinely believe, because of their programming, that they really are talking to somebody who wants to turn 6 million Jews into lampshades. And and that's how sometimes, without even trying, they do hit you with such stuff. And they do, the actual anti-white who challenged me on my own video, there's a few regular posters on Bugsy, could have done a lot better than I did, but the point is, she's gone. She's not there. And the Jewish anti-white who made this video, I'd be embarrassed right now. There's hundreds of pro-whites comments and he's not responding. So it kind of speaks for itself.
Yes.
Okay, listen, I have to go. I have some pressing things to do. But thanks to everybody who commented on the Bugs Radio section at Whitaker Online. The comments are very useful. Adelheim, thanks again. And I'll speak to you again soon.
Yeah, nice. Talk to you later.
Bye now.